Genesis 43:1-34. I want to look, first of all, at Jacob in this passage. The sons have come back with the corn, but of course they've left Simeon in Egypt. And Jacob is angry, he's grieved. He sees nothing but disaster and darkness before him, leading to the grave. But the time passes. They eat the corn that they brought back from Egypt, but the famine goes on. The famine was still severe in the land. They've eaten all the grain by now. And Jacob says, "You better go back and get some more for us." But Judah speaks up. "No," he said, "we can't go back. The man there, this boss man in Egypt, he's told us, you won't come back here. You won't see my face again unless you bring Benjamin." He didn't call him by that name, of course. "Your brother," that's the one he's referring to. "Only if you bring your brother with you will I allow you to come here again and buy food from us." And so Judah reasons with Jacob. "If you don't send Benjamin with us, we can't go. Because this man down there, he won't even see us." And Jacob says, "Well, why did you bring this trouble on me? Why did you tell the man you had a younger brother?" "We didn't know he was going to say it," they said. "We didn't know what he was going to, how his reaction would be. He just asked us. He questioned us closely. He asked about our family and ourselves. He asked, is your father still living and so on? How do we know that he was going to say, 'You've got to bring this younger brother down?'" And Judah reasons with his father more. "Look," he said, "send the boy with me. And we'll go. I could have been there and back by now. We need the food. You can hold me responsible. I'll guarantee his safety. I could bear the blame all his life, or your life, or all my life, if I don't come back with Benjamin. As it is, if we had not delayed, I could have been down and back twice," he said. And then their father listened to them and said, "If it must be, do this. Take some gifts for the man, some balm, a little honey, some spices, myrrh, what we got. Take twice as much money, take some nuts with you as well. Do what you can. Take twice the amount to pay him back. Perhaps it was a mistake, an accident, something overlooked or something. And take your brother and go down and get some more corn for us. Go at once. And may God Almighty grant you mercy before the man, so that he will not shun you, but he will let your other brother Simeon and Benjamin come back with you. But if it's to be, if I am to be bereaved of all these my children, then I am to be bereaved. If doom is waiting for me, if it's nothing but darkness, then so be it." Now, what can we learn here from Jacob? That's what I want to speak on in this very short discourse. Well, I don't see this as perfect here in Jacob. I see somewhat of a fatalistic approach at the end. He reminds me of Gamaliel in Acts chapter 5, and is it verse 34 and on, when Gamaliel reasons with the Sanhedrin, and he says, "Well now, if it's of God, you can't resist it. If this new movement is of God, then you can't resist it. Just let it go and see what happens. This is not the way to make major decisions about spiritual things. Just let it go and let us see what happens." Of course, that's true. But we have to decide on better grounds than that when principles are at stake. I do see somewhat of that spirit in Jacob here. If it's to be, it will be. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, and so on. There's that kind of fatalism. Nevertheless, there are some good points here about Jacob. Let us bear in mind that this is an old man now speaking. And it's a very long, and a very long indeed, is it, trial to come to Jacob in his old age. He's suffering greatly here. He's dragging on. He's lost Joseph. He's lost Simeon. He thinks he's going to lose Benjamin. And don't forget, Benjamin and Joseph were the sons of Rachel, and don't forget Rachel died bearing Benjamin. But Jacob does not realize that this is the darkest hour before the dawn, and happiness is just around the corner. But let us see what we can learn from Jacob. Not perfect, but he is willing to listen to his sons, to Judah here. He's willing to listen to reason, to argument, to discussion. And he's willing to change his mind. In chapter 42, verse 38, "You will never go down there. My son's not going down there." His brother is dead, and he's the only one left in that group. And I'm not having him put to harm. No, no, you're not going down there with Benjamin. But he willingly changes here. Reluctantly, perhaps I should say, but he willingly comes to the place, or at least he allows it to happen, and he allows Benjamin to go. He listens to reason, and he's willing to admit that he's got to change, and he's willing to make retribution, take the money back, take twice the money, take some gift, and go, he says. And I do think he is speaking in faith and in prayer here. "And may God Almighty," verse 14, "grant you mercy before the man, so that he will let your brother and Benjamin come back with you. As for me, if I am bereaved, I am bereaved." As I say, there is that fatalistic, over-resigned here, pessimistic view. But there is a confidence, there is a hope anyway. There is a looking to God, God Almighty. May the Lord look after us. And he is at least resigned, I think, to God's will. So it's a mixed lesson I see from Jacob. But I am challenged myself about the retribution, about faith, about prayer, about willingness to listen to reason, willingness to change my position, willingness to think things through. I am challenged too, because I'm a man myself, given to look on the black side. And I want to encourage anybody listening to me, any brother and sister, who is in the same vein. Darkness is before us, brother and sister, but it may be, in the Lord's good time, that happiness is awaiting us. The darkest hour, they say, is before the dawn. Are you willing to listen to reasoned argument? Will you decide on the basis of fact? Are you willing to make retribution? Will you trust God? Are you a man, a woman of prayer? Are you resigned to the will of God? Do not judge the Lord by feeble sense. You see, Jacob is in a very low position here. But this is not the last chapter of his life. This is not the last page. It's not even the last chapter. God has yet further blessing for this man. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense. Wait upon God. Trust him. I really do believe that Jacob means this. May God Almighty grant you mercy before the man. We're doing what we can, but may God Almighty grant you mercy before the man, so that he will let your brother and Benjamin come back with you. As for me, if I am bereaved, I am bereaved. I cast myself upon God. I really do think he is saying that, ultimately. I want to do that. I want to cast myself and my works, my labors, my endeavors upon God, and trust that his power, his providence, his spirit will overrule all things. I want to make decisions, though, not on the basis of fatalism, but in the light of the new covenant, by the Spirit now, with the whole Scripture before me, under the rule of the Word of God. I want to be led and directed in the ways of God. I urge you, brother and sister, if you've had an entrenched position in the Gospel, if the Scriptures are made clear to you, and you see the way clear in Scripture I emphasize, then may God give us all the grace, may you have the grace, to submit to God. Jacob, though an old man, was willing to admit that he was wrong, change his mind, and alter his action. So there are good points, many good points here. May we learn from them and copy them. Things which are doubtful, may we avoid those things as we see them in Jacob here. I hope that these few remarks may be a blessing to any believer in difficult circumstances at this time. May God speak to us and help us to learn by these things. These things are written as our examples. They're given to us that we may learn from them. May God give us that humble, teachable spirit that will learn from his word and act upon it. Amen.